When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you don't have a clear curriculum for your classroom, it is so overwhelming to try to put that together yourself. Spending hours on Pinterest and Google, pulling worksheets and pulling pieces of curriculum together to make something that works for your classroom. That's why we created the Autism Helper curriculum and now offer Curriculum Access. Curriculum Access gets you access to all levels and all subjects of the highly differentiated, evidence-based Autism Helper curriculum. You can have students working on letter identification and working on parts of speech at the same time in our easy-to-use curriculum. We currently have hundreds of teachers using Curriculum Access from all over the world with consistently rave reviews. I want you to join that group of teachers. Now is the time to ask your administrators for Curriculum Access. We have an email template ready to go so you can ask them to set up a demo. Your administrators can jump on a live call with our team members to see everything that's included in the Autism Helper Curriculum Access. Next year, let's reduce the overwhelm. Let's start the year out with a path and a plan and resources to meet all the diverse needs of your students. Let's make next year the year of Curriculum Access. Head over to the show notes to learn more.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism. Welcome back to the Autism Helper podcast. Today, I am chatting with Caitlin Beltran, a BCBA and former special ed teacher, all about digital data collection. And you might be thinking, oh my gosh, that's a funny topic for a podcast where we can't see anything. But actually, I think this was a perfect topic for a podcast because Caitlin breaks down the process of really getting started using Google Sheets for digital data collection. And it's so simple and easy. If you are brand new to digital data and you've been wanting to try, and maybe you're a little hesitant, when you hear her explain how easy it is, you're gonna be like, oh my gosh, I'm all in, I'm sold. So she breaks down how to set it up, how to get started. If you are already a Google Sheets or Google Form lover, she gives lots of great tips for implementation from staff training to organization to what types of goals. So we cover a lot on digital data collection, which can really help increase your consistency with data collection, buy-in, and really help make data-based decisions. So let's go ahead and hear from Caitlin. Hi, Caitlin. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Sasha. Thank you for having me.
I am excited to chat about digital data. This may like scare some people, those two words together, if you're like not a data person and you're not tech savvy. But I think today we're going to break it down to see how simple and easy this process can be.
Yes, I am really passionate about digital data, and I'm hoping that I can share some ways that it really can be maybe easier than you might think.
Why is it beneficial and helpful in like a busy classroom to use digital data?
Yeah, so I mean, we all know being in the classroom, we're doing 1,000 things at once. So I feel like anything that I can do to make that process easier for my teachers, my staff, and for me is just huge. And I found that it was a little bit of a learning curve at first, not going to lie, just more of like perfecting our systems. But once we all got used to it, we have grown to see that it can really just speed things up from taking the data to looking at it.
Have you seen it help people be more consistent with data collection?
Yes, for sure. In a couple of my classrooms, we do kind of like a hybrid in some areas where we're paper data sheets and then putting it into digital data. Some people are taking it right on their tablet or device. But it does make people feel, I think, more accountable. And it's obviously the paper sheet, like you can check off and put it in a pile when it's done. But sometimes it feels like, you know, where is it going? Like, am I getting it to somewhere quick enough? Whereas if you're entering it into a digital platform, it's like easier to kind of put it out of your mind once it's done.
True.
And like everyone can see it too. Like if you're all contributing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's real time, which I love because exactly like once that para teacher, whoever enters it, I can see it. And there's even little tricks that I can do that I can get an email notification that someone entered the data. So things like that have been really cool to just totally streamline our process.
So what platforms do you typically use for digital data collection?
So I am a big fan of Google Sheets. I do also some work in Google Forms. I do have a couple scenarios where that's just easier for people to enter the data. But even if I'm using a Google Form, I'm almost always exporting that data into Google Sheets. And so a lot of my staff as well have gotten used to just entering it right in Google Sheets.
Oh, nice. So how does this process start? If you're like a Google Sheets newbie and you're like, oh God, I don't want to add another like thing I have to learn. What does this like process from the start look like?
Totally. So I'm actually going to do this right now so I can make sure I don't miss a step. But I felt like since this is an audio platform, if people are motivated to try it, they could follow along and kind of see how quick and easy it can be.
Love that.
So for me, I start with my Gmail. I go to my G Suite. I find Google Sheets. I go to open a new sheet. And then literally from there, like the easiest example I could think of would be just maybe frequency data. So this could be an example where somebody has collected it on paper or with like a clicker and I'm entering it at the end of the day. So I'm entering Google Sheets, kind of a little tricky to get used to at first, but the numbers replicate. Hold on, I'm going to do that again. One little learning curve for Google Sheets is just the letters at the top refer to the columns and the numbers at the left side refer to the rows. So if I'm looking at my blank Google sheet and I'm in column A and I'm entering today's date, and then in the next column over, column B, I'm entering that number. So say I'm entering 5 to represent 5 instances of behavior. And then just continuing that. So the next day I'm doing the following date and then the number of behaviors. Once I have a few days of data, I'm literally going to go to a little white square at the top left in between the A and the 1. And this is an easy trick to highlight the entire sheet. And then I'm going to go to insert chart and the graph pops right up and that's it. And then from then on, I can enter days and weeks worth of dates and also data and the graph continues to update and I don't have to do anything to keep updating that graph.
That's like, to me, one of the most amazing parts of Google Sheets is that once you create that graph, you never create it again. Like it just keeps adding and adding and adding.
Absolutely. And, you know, from there, I can customize it how I want to. Like I can make it look a certain way. I can make the data points pop. I can add a title and all those little things. But in essence, like those 3 or 4 steps, you have a graph template. And then once you have it exactly as you want, you can save that template and then just duplicate it going forward for every student, every classroom, every skill or behavior. So there's so much less reinventing the wheel once you have your master copy.
And imagine like how much work it would be to actually graph like paper data. Like we just don't really do that.
No. And unfortunately, I do remember those days.
Yeah.
So right? I'm dating myself. But, you know, and like I said, we collect a lot of data still with paper and pencil, but the actual graphing was just so tedious. And then it always, you know, it just took up more time to like dig out the materials and do it. And now just even just saving a few seconds or minutes a day by doing it right on the computer, it's amazing how much easier it makes the entire classroom run.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So let's talk organization. Do you recommend having a different sheet for every student, putting multiple goals on the same sheet? What does your organization look like?
So that's a great question. So in terms of, I would personally prefer to keep every student's information, whether or not you have like five skill programs and one behavior, whatever you're doing for each student is its own Google Sheet. So the beauty of Google Sheets is within one file, you can have like unlimited amount of tabs at the bottom. So I might open a file called, you know, Caitlin, say I had a student named Caitlin, and I have all their behaviors, all their skills in one file. I could copy that whole file and make a template for my new student whose name is Sasha, for example, and then obviously delete the data and start from scratch. But that way, just in case I am sharing with team members like across different classrooms or parents with, you know, view only access or admin, that way I can be sure that I'm not accidentally sharing the wrong student's information with the wrong people. So I do like to just separate everything out by student. And that's just kind of my personal preference.
Explain what you said on that view only access, because that's a really helpful tool for other people that aren't maybe a part of the core team.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, we have like a range of parents from, you know, those who want to see data all the time and those who, you know, are comfortable not viewing data. So it's really just your preference as to what you're sharing and with how much context. But if you've decided, for example, you know, this family really wants to look at the program data and we're being transparent with that, I can click, if I'm in the Google Sheet, I can click that little share button in the top right. I can enter that parent or guardian's email address, but I'm going to make sure that before I hit share, it's set as view only. And I think that's the default setting, but if you click down, the options are also edit access, or sometimes you'll see comment access as well. And so if I'm sharing with like paraprofessionals, teachers, even my admin team, I might share with them with edit access because they might be updating the data as well. But I want to make sure if I'm sharing with any like parents, guardians, outside agencies, I'm always just sharing with view only because they're not entering any live data. And not that I have had any family members that want to, you know, add false data, but even by accident, like I don't
know. That's what I would worry about, like accidentally deleting everything. Yes. And being like, oh my God.
Yes. And that's the other magic is I have had paras who are like, oh my gosh, like my elbow fell on the laptop and everything got wiped out. And I'm like, guess what? We're going to that top bar and we're going to view version history. And like magic, you click on yesterday's date and all your data pops right back up again. So it's like virtually impossible to lose data, which I totally love.
Yes. I think if you're anyone that is like not tech savvy or not like someone that it comes naturally to, Google is very intuitive, and this process really is not actually as scary as it seems.
No, and I think for myself, when I was getting used to it, I was totally overwhelmed, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this for one student, you know, for one behavior because their parents want to see it all the time. And then little by little, I was like, oh, it kind of is easier when I just do it this way. And then Google Sheets even sometimes pops up like, you know, do you want to copy this to that with their little suggestions now. So I'm like, they just make it so easy that it's hard for me to look back and do it any other way.
Yeah. Have you had any issues with reactivity for students if you have, let's say, like a tablet out or a phone out and you're taking data like real time on a Google Sheet that students are like reactive to that device?
That's a great question. In terms of skills, no, I personally haven't had that happen. And it's been really helpful in the past, especially if we're doing like some social skills data and maybe like one person's running the group and the other person can sit behind and just take that data and none of the students are even paying attention. With behavior data, I could see that being a little more likely. So that might be something where I'm old fashioned, just keeping the clicker counter in the pocket. And again, inputting that data into the Google Sheet later, but I'm not having the staff keep the tablet out like for that reason.
Yeah, I'm same. I love the like combo of a click counter and like a Google Sheet or Google Form, like because then you could just easily put it in later and it's no big deal.
Totally. And that's the other thing. I think people get overwhelmed sometimes thinking of digital data collection that it has to be all or nothing. And I mean, you know, there's students that we record almost everything on paper. And then there's students where it just fits for their programming, their behaviors, or whatever we have going on that it's almost all digital. So I think there's definitely room for both, even within one classroom or practice. And you can really make it your own.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, last question. Tips on training your staff on this. If you're like, I'm all in, I want to do this, but I got to train my team on getting on board. What suggestions do you have?
I would definitely say my number one tip would be to start small, because I think the year that I fell in love with Google Sheets, I was like, we're all moving to digital. And like, you know, the silence was deafening. Like nobody was on board with me. So I learned from that. And I kind of asked staff input first the following year. And I was like, who's ready? Who wants to do this? And I had a couple of staff that were really like eager to try it and ready to, you know, ditch the clipboards. And so I started that way. And then even within those staff, I was like, I'm going to give maybe one thing to put digital, not to make it double their work, but maybe one thing just worked, lent itself really nicely, like toileting data or something like that. And so we almost like trialed it, like beta tested it. And then once they saw how easy it was, like I've had staff come to me and be like, can you please put, you know, more things electronic, or can I do this digitally? Because they saw the value and how much easier it was. And then I think, you know, their colleagues also see that and learn from each other and see how, you know, not scary it could be. And that being said, like I said, there's no one size fits all. I have staff to this day that are like, I'm only using paper and pencil and that's it. And that's totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great advice to like just start small piece by piece and then it can all build up.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't overwhelm anyone, including yourself.
Yeah, true. Well, thank you so much, Caitlin. I feel like this was a great like intro if you were new, but also some great ideas for organization and implementation if you've already been using some of these strategies. Where can people go to learn more from you?
Sure. So I am on Instagram at Beltrans Behavior Basics. And I also have a blog under the same name, beltransbehaviorbasics.com. And I have a Teachers Pay Teachers store as well. Same name.
Okay, great. We will link those in the show notes. Thanks so much for joining me, Caitlin.
Thanks again for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.